We're now bringing to these microphones David James. We're going to have a conversation today that will deal with an issue that is confronting the body of Christ, the church, and we're going to give a biblical perspective to it because this is key to our daily walk with the Lord. We're going to focus on the importance of integrity for believers. Well, David is back in the United States for a couple of weeks before he heads off to the African Word of Life Bible Institute in Uganda. David, do you get to sleep much when you're home, or are you studying, getting ready for the next session?
Well, many of the courses that I teach, I've taught many times. In these two courses that I taught in the Philippines, Signs, Wonders, and the Charismatic Movement, as well as God's Plan Through the Ages, I'm also teaching in the African Word of Life Bible Institute. So, you know, I've been teaching these so many times. I'm up around 50 times for God's Plan Through the Ages. So I pretty well got it nailed down. There are hundreds of PowerPoint slides, and I find that I've got the timing down that I'm able to end within about 2 or 3 minutes left in the last hour. So it's a challenge, but I love doing it. And of course, people say, you must love traveling. Actually, the glamour of traveling wears off really quickly, as you know, even going to quote-unquote exotic places. But I need to travel to do the kind of ministry that I do, and I'm thankful for that opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. We're thankful for that you and Prophecy Today have, and I'm so excited for your traveling. By the way, I use the old adage, I don't need a new message, I just simply need a new crowd. That's exactly what you're doing. Well, I'm sure it's much more serious than that. David, this week, you and I ran into a difficult situation, and we can't really discuss the details publicly, but it got us to thinking about the importance of integrity in the life of a believer.
Well, that's right, and we're continuing to work through this. One of our students in the School of Prophets, his integrity has been questioned, and of course, you know, Proverbs says that the first one to present his case seems right until his neighbor comes to examine him, which the bottom line is there's always two sides to the story, and so we're trying to work through two sides. I think ultimately it's going to come down to there being a misunderstanding. But I think actually part of the resolution for this is that our student that we're helping and working through with this has, what from our perspective, a great testimony and a high level of integrity. And the fact that that is the case, I think, will ultimately allow us to work through this in a way that's good for all sides involved.
Well, when we're thinking about this, and let's advance and expand this whole issue, what are some of the areas we need to keep in mind? Things that could harm our reputation and our testimony, and I'm talking about in general the Christian community, by compromising our integrity.
Well, I think the obvious ones we could just name off the top of our head would be things like lying, cheating, stealing, and breaking the law. And maybe most of the other specific things tend to fall into one of these categories in one way or another. For example, being faithful to one's spouse, not cheating on taxes, not plagiarizing when writing papers, articles, or books. And of course, there's the issue of someone's word being their bond. You and I grew up at a time where if someone said something, you just took it as being sure. A handshake was as good as a signature. So that's important. I think another thing people sometimes may not think about is never bragging, to misrepresent one's abilities or achievements. And I would say the list just goes on and on if you get into the details.
David, let's first discuss a few biblical passages that actually deal with the issue of integrity. And then we can maybe discuss a few of the specifics that you've mentioned.
Sure. Well, I think it might help to actually consider the word for integrity in both the Old and the New Testament, in the Hebrew and the Greek. Integrity in the Old Testament means the condition of being without blemish, completeness, perfection, sincerity, uprightness, and so on. And then in the New Testament, in the Greek, it means honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works. So that lays, I think, the foundation as far as the original languages in the Bible are concerned. And the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about integrity, so I think it'd be good to start there. Proverbs 11:6 says, the righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. In Proverbs chapter 6, going back to the six things the Lord hates and seven which are an abomination, integrity is a major demon, those things that the Lord hates, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises evil plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness, and someone who sows discord among the brethren. So integrity is a very important thing there. Proverbs 28:6 says, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than in perverse in his ways, though he be rich. And then moving to the New Testament, as you think about someone who is to be an elder or an overseer in a local church, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, a bishop then must be blameless. That's all about integrity. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning verse 15, he says, sanctify the Lord in your hearts. And then moving down to verse 16, he says, have a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. So the point is this, that integrity has to do not only with what you do, but the appearance of what you do. And we need to be blameless, which means that not only are we acting with integrity, but we're acting in such a way that our integrity is clear to others.
David, you and I both have been observing the Christian world for a number of years, since we've come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, and that is a number of years. And among the Christian leadership in this world, I think it goes down to the man who is in the pew as well. That would be all of us. One of the greatest temptations that it seems we face would seem to be that concerning honesty and integrity when it comes to our finances. Speak on that issue.
Well, that's right. You know, I was a missionary in Hungary for 16 years, and I saw this play out. Even in our village where we were in the local stores, there were actually times when there were two cash registers, and one was for reporting taxes and one was for hiding income. So, and the problem was that the business situation in Hungary and the tax situation in Hungary was really almost anti-business. So people, and I'm not talking about believers, but I'm talking about people in the world, were hiding their income from the government. And so cheating on taxes was definitely an issue. But it also raised the question for believers, and this is true of believers in many places around the world. In Hungary, if you had a Christian businessman who tried to run a business completely honestly and pay all his taxes, he could not actually stay in business. So this creates a severe dilemma. So in places like Hungary, and I think in other places around the world for believers, you end up either not being honest yourself or you're working for somebody else who's not honest. And then here in the United States, I think there are opportunities for people to cheat on taxes and not be above board. And we run into problems all the time where we find that people have been skimming off funds from churches. And so even in our home church, two people are always present when the counting of money takes place. The pastor does not handle any of the money ever. And so it's, again, a matter of not just having integrity, but maintaining the appearance of integrity.
You know, I so believe in what you've just discussed with us that I never touch the money as it relates to our ministry. My wife, Judy, as we're on the road, she gets the checks, which would come from our love offerings. She deals with all the sale of our materials. And my wife, Judy, is probably one of the most godly women that I've ever known in all my life. And not only because I love her so much, and we've been married for almost 60 years, she's just a woman of integrity. When they try to bring the money to me, I said, no, I don't deal with it. I don't need to know what it is. I don't want to touch it. So I think this is key, especially in ministry and in leadership of ministry as well. David, you know, we haven't discussed this issue up to now, but in light of the Me Too campaign that has been going on for several months now, what advice do you think we should offer related to the issues of unfaithfulness and the abuse of women and minors?
Well, I think overall, with all the problems that are being caused and brought to light, I think it's good that we are dealing with this. One of the things, you know, I was with Word of Life Fellowship International for 21 years, and actually one of the policies that Word of Life has around the world is what's called a third-party policy, and that means that a married man and even sometimes unmarried men or women are not allowed to be with someone of the opposite sex without a third party, and that includes even, you know, driving a few miles in a car. And again, it doesn't have to do necessarily with the matter of someone's integrity per se, but it has everything to do with the appearance of integrity. You know, our testimony and our reputation is not what we think or know about ourselves; it's what others think or know about us. And I've told many people that it's not enough for me to be faithful to my wife, although that is the bottom line important thing, but it's not enough. What I have to do is I have to conduct myself in such a way when I'm around other women besides my wife that there's no question in anybody's mind that I'm a faithful husband. So this is extremely important, and you know, we're not saying that it's any more important for those in leadership, but with those with a high profile, we know that there have been many who have been brought down over the years. And then when it comes to minors, I think a third-party rule is just as important, and our churches are needing to put policies into place. Our church certainly has, about protecting children and putting things in place to protect them through even how long somebody has to be a member of the church before they can work with young people.
You know, just a word of testimony from a 77-year-old man who's been in ministry for over 50 years. I have to say that third-party principle is applicable to my lifestyle and the lifestyle of my wife, Judy, as well. So that's great input you just have given us. Well, finally, since we've both published books and articles and have been in Christian education for decades, we know how important the growing problem of plagiarism is. So what are some important things to keep in mind in this regard?
Well, you know, back in 2012, I wrote a book called The Harbinger Factor Fiction that actually challenged the number one Christian book of that of 2012. And so I had to cross every T and dot every I and be very careful and document everything. And, you know, even though that was kind of a unique situation, we have to, again, make sure that as writers, whether we're students presenting a paper or an author writing a book or an article, we need to make sure that we document everything and give credit where credit is due. On the other side, I would say, though, as someone who grades papers and who also edits books, as something that I've started doing, we have to, on the one hand, be on the lookout for these things, but we also have to be careful about leveling charges of plagiarism. So there's responsibility on both sides of this, I think, but we, as writers, we need to be totally above board with everything we do.
David, I think it was a great discussion today. Somebody who maybe didn't get the whole discussion of conversation, you might want to go to my website, prophecytoday.com. Go to PTRN, Prophecy Today Radio Network. There you'll be able to find this conversation between David and myself. It'll be very beneficial. Hey, thanks, David, for helping us discuss this issue. We'll do another one next week.
Great. Looking forward to it, Jimmy. Thanks so much.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'll take a look at the book. It's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.